Let's try and sneak this one in that's just coming for you, Dan.
What is high intensity training and how does it work?
So we've talked about various forms of training. We've talked about treadmills. So now you're on to HIIT or high intensity training. What is this? Is there any justification? What's the evidence, etc.?
Okay, this is the big hot topic at the moment in terms of training. So this is the notion that we can get fitter faster. And it's really come about because there's some work done out in the US and in Canada where it was quite obvious that people were saying the biggest impediment to be able to do exercise was the lack of time. And historically, we've understood that interval training is actually a really potent stimulation for biological adaptation because you've got a high intensity block and a low intensity block. So actually, you can accomplish more than you would do if you're doing low intensity exercise. There's a real rationale for doing this. The issue that really comes with HIIT is I think there's a lot of misunderstanding about what HIIT training is. So if we go back a little bit back into the late 90s, early 2000s, HIIT was really promoted as doing 30 seconds of maximal intensity exercise with about a 30 second recovery, do it four times, three times a week. And lo and behold, after 4 weeks, we've got a biological adaptation.
Sounds too good to be true.
It probably is too good to be true. I think a lot of the issues lie in the vast majority of the studies that have been done in controlled conditions. They've only been done over short periods of time, and they tend to be done on the population group that you don't really want to try them on, which are students who are already relatively physically active. Actually, what we do understand is that interval training does work. You know, if you look at elite athletes, they'll do intervals. But the key is that intervals only work if you've actually put the foundations in. So to get to do that high intensity work, we've got to have done low intensity cardiovascular work, because the key to intervals working is the recovery. And if you can't recover between the interval, in the end, what happens is that you in essence lose any of that biological gain. And then it becomes really interesting because now we've got what's called SIT. So SIT is where the science has been fudged, which is, oh, well, we didn't really mean 30 seconds. And that's not this kind of training everybody's into now. They're all into this really, really short 10 seconds of exercise and 30 seconds recovery. And I'm less convinced by this because if we think about that in terms
of... Well, tell me the regime then. So what would I... If I wanted to do SIT training, what would I do?
So if you want to do SIT training, you would come in and we would set a resistance up on the bike, which is probably about 7.5% of your body mass. And then we would say to you that you are now going to sprint as hard as you can for 10 seconds. And I'm now going to give you about 20 seconds recovery. And I'm going to ask you to do that 10 times. And then you're going to do that three times a week. And... the evidence that's come out from this, there were some studies that come out that showed improvement after just doing... And when I say improvement, we're talking about improvement in maximal oxygen uptake, which is our index of cardiorespiratory fitness after doing just six
sessions. That sounds like it's good for, say, muscle function.
Right.
What about my blood pressure? You know, taking exercise to lower my blood pressure, right. Taking exercise to reduce my risk of diabetes, stroke and heart disease. Yeah. What about those impacts?
And this is where it becomes really fascinating because there is a lot of studies that are suggesting that actually if you do HIIT stroke SIT training, that it can reduce the incidence of type 2 diabetes. Suddenly the alarm bells go off in your head. You start thinking, really? And we're talking about after 8 to 12 weeks of exercise. I just don't think the science adds up. If I'm doing 10 seconds of training, then I'm training the high energy phosphates, the use of ATP and phosphocreatine. And although I've got a recovery in between those blocks, the majority of the work is short duration. So I can never quite make how that comes around to actually improving cardiovascular fitness. I can understand how in doing intervals which are at a lower intensity, but a much longer duration. If we talk about 4 to 5 minute duration intervals, which is what, say, a Mo Farah would be doing, then it works. And you can understand then how the blood pressure is reduced because you're getting that engagement in central cardiovascular drive. But if I'm doing these very short intensity efforts, I'm less inclined to believe the fad.
So stick to a sensible regime that you know you can stick to. So you can keep a routine, and just the mantra, some exercise is better than no exercise, is probably the rule of the day, isn't it?
Yes, it really is. Yeah.